What's happening, Heartscapers? This is episode 258 of the How to Heartscape podcast, where we talk about how you can start and grow your hardscaping business. And on today's episode, we're just doing an Instagram live, seeing where people are at in their business this season as we slowly get to the end of the spring rush. I just want to know how people are doing and where they're seeing their leads coming in. And I'll talk a little bit about where I'm seeing my leads come in for the most part, as well as what I'm planning to do as the spring rush kind of comes to an end here and prepare for that. But before we get into today's episode, we want to thank our sponsor, Cycle CPA. If you're looking for bookkeeping, accounting, CFO services, reach out to Cycle CPA at cyclecpa.com. Let them know How to Heartscape sent you for money off their services there. And if you're looking for a software to get into for this season, the How to Heartscape headquarters will help you budget, estimate job costs, time track, schedule, and so much more, including employee management. And our app is just around the corner, so sign up before that comes out and you will be locked in at a lower price, because we will raise the price for new users as we hit new milestones in the software with the features that are coming out. So reach out to me at How to Heartscape to schedule a consultation, or just go to members.howtoheartscape.com for now and schedule that consultation. Without further ado, here's today's episode. Thank you everyone for joining as you come in here. I just thought I'd go live right now, see how everyone was doing for the season, see how things are going, how the leads are coming in. I've heard mixed things from quite a bit, and I'm actually just going to record a podcast episode right now and see how people are doing. So if anybody wants to hop on, happy to have you on. This is recorded for the How to Heartscape podcast. So if anybody does want to join in, send a request. Happy to have you on. Innovative Landscape Co., happy Sunday to you, man. To you too. I hope everything is going well there. And tinos.outdoor.services. Hey, how are you? I'm doing fine. Thank you so much. How are you doing? Rick XRDO03 just started my business. What can you recommend to go with marketing? I actually wanted to record an episode just right now about marketing, how people are doing this season so far, where your leads are coming from. I'm more than happy to talk about that and give any advice that I can when it comes to marketing. But if you have any specific questions about marketing, happy to answer those as well. When it comes to marketing, start off with your website. That's going to be first and foremost. Get that going, because SEO, search engine optimization, has a lot to do with the length of how long your website has been live. Get Google My Business going as well. Focus on those reviews. Get reviews. That's something that I'm going to focus on and should have already been focusing in on. But reviews have pass me by, and I'm going to be sending out an email blast to my past clients as well as my clients that have already serviced this year, and try to get those reviews rolling. That's going to help you a lot. When it comes to SEO, we could get down a whole rabbit hole with that. I'm happy to, but it's marketing is very much a thing about, you know, time or money. And or a mixture of both. If you have time right now, especially when you're just starting your business, you likely do. I'm just going to make that assumption. Spend time on your website and get those pages going. But good, actionable, and quality content, written video form on your website for your landing pages for every single service. And see what services you offer, make a whole list of them, as well as the areas that you service, and make pages on each and every single one of those. So make pages on all the service areas, and make pages on all the services, and make sure that they have good quality content. And when I'm saying good quality content, research the same services that you offer in your area, see what companies are coming up and what pages that they have, and click in on them and see how much content that they have there, written words, see how much photos, media, videos that they have, and just try to one-up them. And that's kind of a good starting point, but I could go off on that quite a bit more there if you're interested. But also it's a long play. Like, I started my YouTube channel and I wanted it to be very much something that would support my hardscaping business as well as my online business. And it has, but it's taken 2.5 years to get to that point. So that's 2.5 years of making of at least one video every single week. And that's time consuming. That takes a lot of time. And it's just about pushing forward and trying to see the bigger picture at the end of it. Paving_pro, what's up? How are you? I'm doing good. Thank you. How are you doing? Tino's Outdoor Services, doing great. Mark, happy Sunday to you too, man. Contracting AMB, it was a slower start to the season, but things are picking up fast. I found the same thing. Honestly, I felt that coming into it, I had a lot of leads, and then things just kind of dried out, and then now things are starting to really pick up once again here. So hopefully that continues, and we can be a little bit more picky with the people that we take on. Faust_Hardscapes, happy Sunday to you too. Paving_pro, I love the way you guys work there in America. I'm in Canada, but North America, I guess you could lump us all in there. So yeah, Rick XRDO03, I hope that helps in some way, but very much something that I could give a lot more insight onto in there. What's the blueprint on how to give the right estimate? Are you talking about numbers and knowing how much to charge, or are you talking about actually putting together an estimate and what that sort of template looks like? What are you looking at there for that? When it comes to numbers wise, it's very simple. Draw out the materials is simple, and labor's fairly simple, though it's going to take you a little bit to figure out how long jobs are actually going to take you. So document everything, get production rates in order. That's what I do. I just, let's say we're doing a backyard patio. We have access to get a machine into the backyard. And then I just have a production rate on that. Okay, 100 square feet usually takes us X amount of hours to complete. And I do that from every step of the situation, everything from the excavation, the base preparation, the screeding, laying, jointed compound, edge restraint, and so on and so forth there till the job is finished. And those are my production rates. And then so that's labor, the materials is easy. When it comes to actually incorporating your overhead, I make a list of all of my overhead, what it's going to cost me for the year. And then I have the amount of hours that I have in a season, usually around 1600 hours for us in Canada, especially with the winters. And I just go ahead and figure out how many hours that job is going to take me. I divide that by the amount of hours that I have in my season. So X amount of hours for the project divided by 1600 hours, let's say is 160 hours to complete that project. That's 10% of my season. I need 10% of my overhead expenses from that year allocated to that actual job. So that's going to give me my overhead recovery on that project. And then I add a profit margin on top of that for my business to actually make a profit on. And that's for my business growth, for my business, however I want to allocate that, even to if it's for myself. But you did ask there as I went off on that tangent, the template to give an estimate. So that's numbers. When it comes to a template that I give to clients for them to see, and I actually on the project that I'm on is actually the reason why they chose me, because they did have competing quotes, and actually I was the highest quote, which is pretty cool to hear. And the reason why they went with me was because of my template. And because I went by work area, and then I have a very descriptive, this is how we prepare your project. Everything from how deep we're excavating to what we do to the subsoil, to the installation of the geotextile, installation of the geogrid, base preparation, screeding, laying, joints and compound, edge restraint, and cleanup. So all of that is very clearly laid out within that work area. And on top of that, also with my YouTube videos that I have, and I've got, I specifically have YouTube videos for each of these different steps and the purpose to the steps. For example, the geotextile, I have a specific video on my YouTube channel about geotextile, what it does. And I hyperlink that within my template. So if the client, not only does the client get a write-up, but they can also click in on each of those steps and see what I do and why I do it. And it's me talking to them. They see my face. So that actually landed me this project. It's a smaller project, about $25,000, but it's a pool surround. It's the perfect project for me to take on personally. So yeah, I love getting that feedback from my clients. That's the reason why they went with me. When it comes to our software, you don't have to type these things out constantly. When it comes to our software, you actually set a production rate group. And then based on that production rate group, you just type it out once. And anytime you choose that production rate group, that work scope is going to show up underneath every work area that you use that for. So just a quick little plug about the How to Hardscape Headquarters software. In doing so, let's say I have a paver patio production rate group, and I'm quoting a paver patio production rate. That template is going to show up underneath every single work area that I've chosen that for. So I'm not constantly typing this thing out, not having to go to a Google Doc, find it, copy and paste it over every time. It just automatically shows up. And that's the beauty of using software in your business to be able to streamline that. But I highly suggest, especially in a more competitive market, the past few years, you were just able to send out a price and they were more than willing to accept it as long as you were open and willing to do the work on a schedule that would work for them. In a more competitive market, that's not going to work. So I highly suggest writing out exactly what you're going to do to show them, because the two other companies that they head quote this project, one of them didn't even give them that. They just gave them a price. The other one, they gave them a work scope, but it wasn't as detailed. And they just liked that my videos were included there so that they could actually do a little bit of research and understand why I'm doing what I'm doing and why I'm charging for what I'm charging for. So just a thing about, I hope that helps there with the templates and the estimates. Profit, that's really going to come down to your market. I play around with my profit percentage all the time, and it really comes down to your closing rate and really focusing in on, okay, what's my closing rate and is it where I want it to be? Because if you have a low closing rate, it could be that your price is too high. It also could be that your sales process is just not good enough. For example, just including the work scope there could be the difference maker in being able to close more jobs and increasing your closing rate. Your question was about profit. It could also be so price related. It could be sales process related. And this could be something that it's like a lever that you need to pull in terms of your marketing spend. So if you know that if you get 10 leads into your business, 50% of those leads you actually go out and do a consult on because you've pre-qualified them. Five of those leads just weren't proper clients for you, but five of those clients were promising, so you actually went out and did a consult on them. That's 50%. And maybe 50% of those clients you actually close. Or let's just say for this example, 60%. So three of those clients, of those five clients, you close. Well, is that going to keep you scheduled out? Do you need to lower your profit margin so you maybe get to an 80% closing rate of those five clients that you actually meet with? Or can you put a little bit more money into marketing and keep it at a 60% closing rate and just invest more money into marketing to bring in more leads to increase that number of clients that you're servicing and booking out for the long term? So it's a delicate balance of, especially when we get into a more competitive market, of your profit margin, your closing rates, and your marketing spend to get to you to where you want to be in your business and how booked out you want to be. Paving underscore pro, where are you located? Faust underscore hardscapes, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. We are an LA company, 20 years experience. Amazing. Amazing, amazing. Nice. Let me keep scrolling here. Rick XRDO03, what's your niche in your business that separates you from your rest? Absolutely, absolutely. I started in lift and relay, so I wanted to keep my overhead really low. I will probably revisit that at some point. So lift and relay is something that a lot of companies don't want to do. So it's a very good part of the industry to just reach out to contractors near you that won't want to take on that type of work. And maybe they can refer you to people that they get coming into as leads, and maybe they want to just pass those leads on to you. That is a very good idea to niche down to what is best for you in your business, but also the work that you want to take on. I got burnt out of doing lift and relays. It's not really the most creative thing to do. And I decided I wanted to be a little bit more creative on that aspect in my business. Asa_outdoor living, always good stuff, I hope so. Experience talk, it's great, love it. 20 years experience is pretty amazing. Nice work on that. Faust_hardscapes. Morales Masonry, Landscape in Germany, how are you doing? I saw you flying with Weston. I'm very jealous of that. Good to see you there. I just wanted to talk about how everybody's season is going so far, where your leads are coming from. I was just looking at a few things that I had been spending my money on testing in terms of marketing. I would say that this season, a lot of my leads are coming from either YouTube, Facebook ads have been doing good for me, as well as vendors' leads. I have one vendor that has been feeding me quite a bit of leads that has even been difficult for me just to keep up with. So that has helped immensely. Anytime you can get leads that you're not spending money on is always a benefit and always a plus. I did have a tab open here that I wanted to talk about. Now I can't find it. Maybe I closed it. But I do like to always go onto the back end of my website, see how things are looking in terms of SEO. I spent this winter really doing a lot for my SEO for my actual hardscaping company. It's something that I had just put off for way, way, way too long. And I had just focused so much on how to hardscape and the SEO of that, which has been doing good, is still doing good. So now I just kind of reverted my attention back to my actual hardscaping business. One thing that I'm seeing here is that the more, and like you were saying, the more you niche down, the better your results are going to be when it comes to especially SEO. So I'm getting a lot of leads for drainage. Drainage is not something that a lot of people are targeting. So it's a wide open field to actually go ahead and get those leads. So landscape drainage is what I am ranking high for. Whereas landscaping is going to be a very competitive keyword. And when you're coming out of the gate trying to rank for landscaping, it's going to be very, very difficult. So try to niche down well further down than just landscaping. You've got landscaping, and then you can branch down from softscaping to hardscaping. Not a lot of people are searching for softscaping and hardscaping, but you can then niche down even further and say, okay, paver installation, cleaning and sealing services. If you do that, that's a good one. That's fairly easy to rank for, because another thing that a lot of companies don't actually want to do and take on. We've got, what else do I have in my business? Gas fire features, water features. These are all good things to make pages on in your business and to create content around. I always tell people, be very careful with using AI generated text and just uploading into your website. That will backfire, I do believe. And that will hurt you in the long run. Innovative Landscape Co. I find most of my customers this year want to make it a multi-stage project. One thing this year, one thing next year, and so on. Are you in the same situation, or do you avoid this? I never try to avoid this. I don't want to extend my clients further than what they would be willing to actually spend. So I actually welcome this. And I even tell them, especially in that pre-qualifying process, where I try to give them like a good price range of where we would be at with a specific project. And if they are a little bit thrown off by how much it is, we always open the door to phasing out a project and what that would look like, because that's future work that we are going to perform. And I'm more than happy to play the long game with a client and be able to service them for that longer term. I actually very much welcome that. This is being recorded for the How to Hardscape podcast. So if anybody wants to hop on, shoot me a message here or just request an invite. I think I have a way to actually record this. Maybe I don't. I actually don't know how I'm going to do that. But yeah, if you want to hop on, feel free to hop on. I just want to see how everybody is doing. We're booked out till about July, at some point in July. And I've got 3 quotes that I'm going to be working on tonight. And I've got about 5 leads that I need to actually email. We want to take a break from today's episode to thank our sponsor, Cycle CPA. Are you basing your business decisions solely on a gut feeling? If so, you may be leaving potential profits on the table. It's crucial to base these important decisions on your financials, whether you're planning to hire a new employee, add another crew, purchase equipment or vehicles, or take on more debt to support a new service line. At Cycle CPA, they not only handle bookkeeping and taxes, but they also provide guidance and advisory services tailored to the landscape and hardscape industry. Their team of specialized accountants ensures that when it comes to making the next key decision in your company, you'll have a financial partner in your corner. So visit them at cyclecpa.com, and for $200 off, mention the How to Hardscape podcast. Now back to our episode. We are moving along here so far this season. And how's the season going for everyone else just tuning in here? Pack_group_LTD. Great season so far. Early start here in Canada. Yeah, besides the rain that's kind of been slowing us down in Toronto, it was definitely an earlier start than I had thought. But then the rain hit and it became a sloppy mess really quick. What's your turnaround time on quotes? Right now, I'm about 5 to 10 days. So this season, I'm specifically focusing on like 1 week, 2 week jobs or less. I'm not taking on anything big. And just the reason for that is just so I can be in and out and be able to also service our software users and be there for them as well. So I'm just trying to balance those two things right now. Next season will be a different story, but like I said, I'm just focusing in on those smaller projects, and because I have got everything set up in the software, I can have a quote out in 24 hours for the most part. Sometimes I like to play around with the quote and play around with my profit margin to get to a number that I like a little bit better, but that might take me like a few hours to kind of mull over, or I'll just wait the next day. But yeah, I can very easily get a quote out within 24 hours of actually meeting the client. The biggest thing right now for me is just time. I am behind on recording podcast episodes. I'm behind on making YouTube videos. I'm behind on managing and getting next steps to my developers for what's coming in the next phases. I'm behind on a lot of things right now, so I can see why like 5 to 10 days you would be at, because I just had to be able to sit down and power through a few of them at once, and it's very hard to do that at this current point in time with everything that I've got on my plate, unfortunately. Contracting AMB, do you use 3D design software? And if so, what has been your go-to? Recently started using UVision and I love it. I use UVision as well. Real-time landscape architect for any of those that are interested in that as well. I love it. It's very straightforward for the most part. Also, I've seen people do a lot of crazy stuff with it as well. So I've always liked those type of softwares that you can just kind of dive into and get a good grip of it pretty easily, but also you can learn a lot of cool things with it to be able to do. I haven't gotten to the point of being able to learn a lot of more complex and advanced things with it. And that's more so because the clientele that I'm servicing. I'm not currently going after the high-end residential. If it falls into my lap, I'm more than happy to take it on and spend a little bit more time with those designs. But for the most part, if I'm doing a 3D design, it's very straightforward, very basic, and it's just more so to give them an idea of what that is actually going to look like for that. Can you post a link for UVision? I believe it's just uvision.com. Or you can just go to Real Time Landscape Architect. They're both the same thing. I would just Google UVision. It comes up the very first thing that I search for that. I haven't even gotten the upgrade. There was an upgrade this off season. I haven't even done that yet. I probably should. But like I said, I'm focusing in on those 1 to 2 week jobs. A lot of those jobs don't require an intricate 3D design. It just requires, if they really do want a design and they can't quite visualize the project, I'll charge them a design fee and I will put it together for them. But for the most part, so far this season, I've put together one design and everyone else I haven't had to. That's ideal for me because I don't want to be spending more time in front of the computer than I already am at this point in time. So designs, more than happy to do them for my clients, but for the most part, I'm trying to stay away from that this season. I'm trying to be in and out with my projects. I was talking about marketing before, and I do want to go over some things that have been working, some things that have been not working. I did spend about $1,500 on Google AdWords, and I did get a couple of decent leads from that. But what I found to be working better for me has been Facebook ads, and quite specifically Facebook ads that target a specific service area that I'm servicing. So I say the first thing that I do is I say the name of the city. Hey homeowners from X city. And in the background, I've got my face, and in the background, I've got a project that I want to showcase to them. So immediately they see or they hear homeowners from their city. So in the noise that they see on their feed, they know that I'm talking specifically to them. I also caption it. So if it's captioned, they can also, and it, they don't have the sound on while they're scrolling, they see the caption of their city. So they know that I'm specifically talking to them, their city. And it seems to work. It does seem to work because even when I'm scrolling my feed and in the noise that I see of, you know, larger companies, sponsored posts, beverages being sponsored, I don't know, toothpaste and all these different things. As soon as you see something that is more organic to your feed, not polished or anything like that, but is literally just a talking face with their city immediately mentioned, it captures people's attention. It has captured mine in the past, and I've applied that to my Facebook ads as well. So that has seemed to be paying off. I could go through and just talk about some things of what I'm doing with this. I've got about $20 daily ad spend for each of these different service areas. It's costing me about 50 cents per click at the current point in time. And that has transferred to quite a few jobs. Let's see here. If I could narrow down exactly what. But what hasn't worked for me so far this year is Google Ads. Like I said, I've spent probably closer to about $2,000 on them. And the click-through rate is a lot more expensive, or the cost per mil. It was costing me about $2 to $3 per click. Now, the benefit to that is when you're targeting specific search terms, you are actually getting people that are more willing to be looking for that. They're searching on Google, your ad shows up at the top, they're more and more willing to actually click on something and follow through with a lead form. That has worked a couple of times, but more so the lower cost of 50 cents per click, you multiply that by five, I'm getting better than a 5x return on that than compared to Google Ads. So I've just been tracking this. I haven't done a great job of tracking this recently just because of how busy I've been, but I just thought I'd hop on here, talk a little bit about that, as well as to share that on the podcast and share this with you guys as well. Pro_earth_landscaping_NC. Hello, we just started shooting last week for our first YouTube channel. Do you have any advice for starting off? tons of things I could go off on there. Pro Earth, and congrats on shooting and starting the YouTube channel. Shoot me a message of what your YouTube channel is. I'd love to tune in and subscribe. When it comes to YouTube channels, I see it as you have the option of two things. You can be entertaining, or you can be educational, or you could be a mix of both. I chose to go the educational route because I wanted it to feed my hardscaping business as well as my online business. So that educational-based content really worked well with not only my personality, but also my my business, the way I run my business. So I went educational because I wanted to use the videos to be able to show my clients within proposals or just communicating to them, hey, this is how we do our projects. So a lot of my videos are very dry in that sense, because it's very either technical or it's like step-by-step based A, B, C, this is what we do and this is why we do it. That works well when it comes to search engine optimization. YouTube is the second highest traffic search engine after Google. Google owns YouTube, so Google has a monopoly on that search engine traffic for the most part, though that's changing. And I chose to use YouTube as another search engine based traffic generator for my YouTube channel. And that's where education-based content really comes into play. Now, if you're going the entertainment route, hopefully you have a personality that is attuned to that, as well as characters around you, aka employees around you that are characters that can also help to carry a little bit of that entertaining load. One person I know does a really good job of this entertainment education mix is Sean from Premier Outdoor Living, where they mix in a great deal of that entertainment and educational mixture into their videos. So they do a great job of that. It is, when it comes to education-based content, there is a limit of what you're going to be able to do with it before you start to repeat yourself time and time again with videos. I've kind of hit that limit after about 150, 200 videos and 2.5 years of doing it, where I've decided I'm going to go that more entertainment, educational route. It's going to be more day in the life from now on. But now I've got this base of subscribers that will either follow me or not follow me continuing forward. But at least I built up that base, and I will continue to build upon that base from here on out with it. I could go on and on about that, but YouTube is all about title, thumbnails, and then making sure you're creating content that's going to keep people watching through your video. So spend a lot of time on your title, getting a good title. Spend a lot of time on your thumbnail, drawing attention to your video. And then spend a lot of time making sure it's a video that people, that immediately delivers on its promise. So whatever the title is, that you are paying off that immediately, so that people know when they click on it, that's what they're going to be getting. But also continues to draw them along through that video, because that average view duration or how much percent of your video is viewed from start to finish is going to play a lot into YouTube recommending your video time and time again, which will bring more viewers, which will bring more subscribers, and so on and so forth. There's a YouTube channel, Victory Outdoor Services, that does a really good job of the education, or sorry, the entertainment route. And they pour concrete. They are concrete contractors. But with that entertainment based, he's got a very consistent way of how he introduces his videos and continues along his day until they get to the point where they start their day. So if you follow a story structure, it's got the beginning of the story, and then usually it builds until there is some sort of point in the story that creates some sort of conflict. That conflict builds that suspense until you get to the climax, and then the climax falls until you get to that resolution, which is the end. He's got a great, great build-up where he introduces himself, his what they're going to be doing today. He has a saying that he does every single video, as well as going to a convenience store to get his breakfast, what he's going to be eating that morning. And then he gets to his yard, and then this was what builds that point where they get to the job site, they start to work, you get that sort of build up to whatever his video title was, whether it was a problem, whether something happened, and so on and so forth there. You get that climax, and then you get that fall. He does a really, really good job of this, and it's why his YouTube channel is at something like 500,000 subscribers now in a matter of a few years. So I would study other people's YouTube channels that do a really good job of these types of things. I would see why and how they're doing such a good job, and I would try to take those lessons and apply them to my own YouTube channel. You'll notice if you do follow my YouTube channel, my videos are going to change quite a bit in the near future, and that's where I will be continuing my YouTube journey with that. So I hope that helps in some way. And thank you so much for everybody that tuned into that, to my Sunday ramblings. Any other questions, any other things that you want to talk about, happy to talk about at least my opinions or things that have actually worked for me. I wanted to talk about marketing, but I kind of went off on a tangent on thanks to your questions and everything that you guys brought. But yeah, I did want to touch on where leads are coming from, how things are going. It does seem that things are picking up. I know a lot of people were pretty worried at the beginning of the season, but I am happy where things are currently at. Pro Earth Landscaping NC, thanks. I appreciate it. And what you do, thank you so much. I appreciate you just tuning in here. Anyways, Jackson 360 Landscape, how do I grow my IG page? It's something that I can't really say. I haven't really focused on Instagram at all. Here's the thing with all of these different platforms. And actually, this will be a good ending topic here. Here's the thing with all these platforms. You don't own them. Your Instagram handle, you could be shut off tomorrow. So don't put a lot of weight into these different platforms. Be very careful. It's still great. Like, post every day. Be consistent. See what the trends are if you really are looking just to grow for growth's sake. Like, why are you growing? Are you wanting to get more leads in your city? Or do you want to just grow a larger hardscape presence in the industry? I would start there, ask that question, and then create content around whatever avenue you want to pursue. If it is within your city, I would post good educational content that you can then, whenever you're posting, search the different hashtags in your city. Hashtag your city's name, or families in X city, or moms of X city. And I would go in and I would engage with them and I would like their last few posts and then post some meaningful comments to them. That way, if you do that 100 times to 100 different accounts every single day, by day 30, you're going to start to see more engagement on your account of people that actually might hire you. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but sometime in the future. And that's the best way to go about actually getting good qualified people following your hardscape page. Now, if you want to build a presence in the industry, I think I would start a completely different page for that. I wouldn't even do that of your landscaping page, your business page. Personally, that's the way I see it. That's why I have Ever After Landscaping and I have I Am a Hardscaper. Two totally different entities that serve two totally different sides of what I'm trying to accomplish with them. Now, I'm a hardscaper I haven't done much with on Instagram. It's more so for, I focus with I'm a hardscaper on the YouTube side of things. But once again, if you're trying to build a more industry focused thing, I would look at creating more of like a personal brand as opposed to your actual landscape company side of things. The reason for this is because there's two different types of content that you'll create for those two different types of things. Your landscaping company page, maybe more polished portfolio pieces, whereas your personal brand side of things, your face a lot, your thoughts on the industry, where things are going, more personal related. So that's the way I see it. That's the way I have developed my two sides of things. But at the end of the day, remember, these things don't belong to you. They belong to Instagram. They belong to Facebook. They can take them away at any point in time that they want, and you will not likely get them back. Point in case, Ever After Landscaping, I still have a Facebook page. 2 years ago, they shut down my ads on Ever After Landscaping. The reason they give? No reason. So for 2 years, I went back and forth with them, asking them. Eventually, I got out of them that there was a copyright strike on one of my ads. I film all of my stuff. It's every single thing is my stuff. I have a YouTube channel that has over 200 videos on it. I use those videos in my ads. Maybe it was a misunderstanding by somebody who saw one of my ads and reported it as a copyright, striked it. Maybe it was somebody that was just angry with seeing my ads. Maybe it was just somebody that just doesn't like my face. I don't know, but I got copyright striked. And they won't give me back my ability to run ads on my Facebook page. I still have my Facebook page. They tell me that I can still post organically, but I can't run ads on my Facebook page. So I created an Ever After Hardscapes Facebook page, which is now the page that I run my Facebook ads from. So, and after 2 years of going back and forth with them, being on the phone with somebody and asking to speak to managers, and no, they can't do that. It's a privacy related thing. I've tried everything to get that back. They don't care. They seriously, if you have your Instagram page shut down tomorrow and it's because of some sort of copyright related thing or anything, the likelihood of you getting it back is slim to nothing. So just bear with that and understand that this, everything that you've got here, my How to Hardscape page, it does not belong to us. It belongs to Instagram. It belongs to Facebook. They can shut you down at any point in time. How to Hardscape, if you're still wanting to know about Instagram growth, How to Hardscape has basically been just community related. It's specifically a portfolio of contractors in the industry that I repost. I could grow it more by reposting viral reels that have gone viral. I don't choose to do that. I specifically don't choose to do that. I don't think that serves the community. If I chose to do that, I think that would be very self-centered for me to just try to grow How to Hardscape for the purpose of just growing How to Hardscape. I want it to be more so a portfolio of showing off contractors' work. So that's why I stick to reposting photos of amazing contractors, and I stick to that. Now I've grown how to, that specifically posting does not grow your account. What grows your account is engaging with the community. When I first started How to Hardscape, I spent 3 hours every single day after working Hardscape, 10 to 12 hours in the field, at the end of the day, coming home for 3 hours and engaging, starting conversations with people, commenting, liking. I did that for 3 hours every single day. It was a grind. After about a year and a half, I got to the point of being at like 25,000 followers or whatever. And then I completely slowed down the past year and a half. That just gave me time to focus on other things. But that's why our page is basically hasn't grown too much over the past year and a half, 2 years or so. And that's just because I haven't been engaging as much as I'd want to, because then my focus went to YouTube, my focus went to the software and other things. I just want to make that clear that Instagram, Facebook, they don't care. This is theirs. Sergio 526, what is your best way to separate clients that are ready to move forward and ones that are only looking for quotes from everyone? To separate them. You could be very salesy and force their hand a little and even tell them that you're booking up, and if they are you could send them an email, phone call, and say, hey, is there anything that we can go over in the proposal? We are booking up, and in the next couple of weeks you may not be able to be on our schedule for the summer. So we want to make sure that you can get on our schedule. Is there anything we can go over in the proposal? Is there anything we can talk about? I would also do that in a pre-qualification stage, especially if you have more leads than you have time to go out and visit. So you have more leads than you have time to go out and visit. I would very much ask them, hey, are you looking at other contractors at the current point in time to be able to do your project? If they say yes, I would ask them, what is what's the most important thing to you for your project? Is it that we do quality work? Is it that it is as cheap as it could be? Is it that it gets finished in a timely manner? What's the most important thing? And if they say cost-based, they want it to be as cheap as possible, then it's likely not a client that I would personally want. So we might just cut ties then and there, and it saves me going out to do an actual consult for them, as well as to actually put together a quote, which also takes time. That's how I would go about it. I pre-qualify a lot because I don't have a lot of time right now. So I probably go out to about 40% of the people that actually reach out to me to do a consultation. And that's actually really high right now, just because a lot of those leads are coming from my vendor. And so a lot of those leads are already qualified and are willing to spend money on their project. I think last year I was closer to about like 33%, if that. So at one of every three people reaching out to me, I'm actually just going out to do a consultation. So two of every three, I don't even bother. And I have a process where I ask them for photos of their space, any ideas that they currently have for their space. And I have people that say they just come out. No, I'm not just going to spend my time and your time as well. I clearly let them know that it's not only my time, but also their time. I don't want to waste their time as well. So we do have a process that we stick to, and this is our process. You send us your photos, any ideas that you have. We'll take a look at that, and we'll be able to give you a good price range of where we're looking at for your project. If they are looking at it from there, we can also then book a consultation and go out and meet with them, provide them with a quote from there. Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode. If you have a topic in here that you listen to and you want to hear more about it, for us to do a deeper dive on it, shoot me a message at How to Hardscape on Instagram if any of these interested you, and we can revisit these in a future episode. And while you're on your phone, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can leave a rating and review, and we would really appreciate it. And if you're looking for bookkeeping, accounting, CFO services, reach out to Cycle CPA at cyclecpa.com. Let them know how to Hardscape sent you for money off their services there. And you're looking for a software to dive into. How to Hardscape headquarters software can help you in your business. You can check it out at members.howtohardscape.com. More information on that there. Or if you want to book a demo, shoot me a message at howtohardscape on Instagram and we can set you up. And we look forward to meeting with you next week on the How to Hardscape podcast.